Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful evening, the blessings, natural blessings that are upon us, that we can gather in this way. We gather in your name, Father, desiring to bring glory to your name, and desiring, Father, that you would mold us into the image of your dear Son. What an exciting thought. Father, we pray that you would have your way here this evening. We pray that you would open the windows of heaven upon us and show us how, Father, in a practical way to live out the Christ-likeness that you have made provision for in each of our lives. We know that each of our callings are different. Each of our places to fill are different. But, Father, we pray that we would be faithful in each one of us tonight. Have your way this evening, Father. Lord, except you build the house, we labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the watch. Anyway, Father, it's in vain unless you watch over us and protect us. So we look to you tonight. Have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we greet you this evening again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust that our being together will be a blessing. This evening, we've been talking some the last couple evenings about pressing in to the kingdom of God diligently and faithfully. And as we press in, you know, not to forget the armor, but to put on the whole armor of God. But as we press into the kingdom of God, let's also not forget the love of God that we are called to exercise. Let's not forget the relationships that we have been given to build. I wanted to have a message sometime this week encouraging us in the relationships, you know, that God has called us to in our homes, in our families, in our churches, in our marriages. I believe that these relationships are a big thing with God. And I believe they're a big part of the kingdom of God. I know that our relationships greatly affect each one of us personally. They affect our personal walk with God and our relationship with Him. So even though these close relationships can be very challenging, I also know that these relationships can be very fulfilling, very rewarding, and very encouraging in our walk with God. And they can literally bring the favor of God upon us as we give ourselves in love, in humility, in tenderness, in sensitivity, in understanding to build these relationships. So this evening, I believe we have a very gentle message this evening. It's a very crucial one, but I believe it's a very gentle one. You know, some things just really need to hit hard to get through. It seems like there's just some things that's the only way you're going to get through is to hit them hard. But there are other things that need to land very, very gentle or they'll never get through. It's the only way for them to get through. That's just the way life is. That's the way the Word of God is. You know, we read in the Word of God one place that the Word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. But I tell you, brothers, that's not the way to deal with our wives and with our children and with each other. In other places, the Word of God is soft as a pillow, very gentle, very comforting, very beseeching. And usually, when something needs to land very gentle in order to get through and to be received and to gain its desired end, usually, it has something to do with relationships. Men, that's the way our wives are. Wives, that's the way your men usually are. Parents, that's the way our children are. And really, that's kind of the way we all are. We're just pretty much sensitive when it comes right down to dealing with us. That's just the way we are. So I would like to consider one aspect of all these relationships this evening. I would like to consider the aspect tonight of communication. That should be a big part of every relationship, how we communicate with each other, especially here in the kingdom of God, as we press into the kingdom of God. And so I would like for the title to be tonight, and I appreciate the title that Brother Bobby used the other night on godliness. I think his title was Training to Godliness. And it's because, you know, it's something that we need to work at and learn how to do it. So I would like for our title this evening to be Training to Communicate. It's something that we need to learn. It's something that we need to work at to make it happen. There are some very, very sacred relationships that God has established in our lives, and God wants them to prosper. First of all is our relationship with Him. Amen? I mean, that is a foundation for all other relationships to be built upon. And in thinking about our relationship with Him, I've always liked the statement that says, you know, our walk with God, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. We talked the other night a little bit about, you know, salvation is a person. And our walk with God is a relationship. And the more we communicate in that relationship, you know, the more we pray and talk to God, the more we read the Bible and let Him speak to us, the more we're talking to God, the more we're walking with God, the more we're casting all our care upon Him and telling Him everything and hearing from Him, the better that relationship will be. Amen? The more we communicate in our relationship with God, the better that relationship will be. And I just want us to know that's true in all relationships. The more we communicate in a relationship, the better that relationship will be. I want to think just about a few of the relationships that God has called us to. First of all is the marriage relationship. You know, the husband and the wife, where two become one. This relationship needs lots of communication. And I know that it's a little easier for maybe the women to communicate than the men. This would be a general rule, but it's not always true. But this relationship needs a lot of communication, right? And all the women said, amen. I know that this is the cry of many, many hearts of many, many women. But this relationship represents Christ and the church to a lost and a dying world, to a divorcing and a frustrating, fighting world. Isn't that an amazing opportunity? Isn't that a tremendous witness that this relationship can literally manifest to an unbelieving world how much Christ loved the church? Men, when we are in our place, we are showing the world around us how much Christ loved the church. And God intended for this love to be lived out in this relationship. But this relationship goes both ways. It's also to show a world how subject the church is to Christ. Try to proceed. I hope that I'm doing this. I don't want to do anything wrong here with this technology that's around my ear. When they first put this thing on me, I asked if Jesus had to do this. And but may the Spirit of God have its way this evening. Anyway, but in the marriage relationship, wives, This shows a lost and a dying world how much Christ reverences and honors, how much the church reverences and honors Christ, and how she turns her heart toward him. And this is a tremendous witness to be lived out. But why did God establish this marriage relationship? Why did God do it? You know, that very question is asked in the book of Malachi. That's what Malachi says. And wherefore one? Why did God do this? Why did God bring two together? And it says that it's that he might seek a godly seed. And so parents here this evening who want to produce a godly seed, this marriage relationship is the umbrella under which our children are raised. And the fruit of this marriage relationship, in whatever condition it is, just drips continually upon our children for 20 years. Or however long our children are at home. And God wants this relationship to prosper. So this is of God. But there's also the relationship of parents and children. And what does the Word of God tell us about this relationship? You know, we read in the Word of God, "My son, give me thine heart." You know, that just doesn't happen without a lot of communication. And that's our subject this evening. The Bible also says about this relationship, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." I tell you, we're not going to nurture and admonish our children without a tremendous amount of connecting and communicating with their hearts on their level. It also says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother." And this relationship, for this to happen, it requires communication. It requires a connection. And there's nothing more beautiful than when children communicate with their parents. When the children tell the parents everything. And so I'm saying this because there's something for all of us in the kingdom of God to build these relationships. And then there's the relationship of brothers and sisters in the Lord. And what does the Bible tell us about this relationship? Well, it tells us that we love one another. It tells us that we love one another as Christ loved us, that we also love one another. It says that we serve one another in this relationship. I believe the Bible says by love to serve one another and to submit ourselves one to another and to be of the same mind in the Lord. It even says perfectly joined together. Jesus said that we should be one just like he and his father are one. That's how united we should be. And forgiving one another, able to admonish one another. And you know, we know that if somebody's able to admonish, that means they're also able to be admonished. You know, we all need each other speaking into each other's lives and having fervent charity, building each other up in the most holy faith. And you know, when you read those scriptures kind of as a collage and bring them all together, that's quite a relationship. But the Bible says, by this has a witness in it. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This is a tremendous witness. And this kind of relationship doesn't just happen in the flesh. There is a calling of God upon the people of God to build these relationships. I believe, brothers and sisters, this is part of pressing in to the kingdom of God. This is God's heart for his people. And I know there's challenges. Every one of these relationships has challenges. But I don't know anywhere I'd rather work through these challenges than in the kingdom of God. And so I want to think about communication this evening, and I'm going to get on a little bit here in a minute with how to communicate, because that's the burden that we have. But first, I want to consider the love of God that needs to be in our hearts. The love of God is such a foundation for these relationships. It is our desire, it's God's desire, that the love within us would be God's love. The love of God, His love within us, not man's love. And just think about this. Man's love is too small. Man's love is too conditional. Man's love is too touchy. Man's love is too easily damaged. Churches fall apart when that's all we have, is man's love. Marriages break up when that's all that we have. But we want God's love within our hearts to build these relationships. God's love as defined by the Holy Spirit of God, as revealed by the Spirit of God. God's love as it really is in our hearts tonight. You read in the book of John, it says, herein is love. In other words, here it is. This is what we're talking about. Not that we love God, not how much love we have, not our love, but that God loved us. It's His love that needs to be in our hearts. He who sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That's it. That's the love that we want while we were yet sinners. That love, that great love that moved the heart of God toward us, that same love would move in our hearts toward each other in these relationships. You see, that love doesn't just love when that love is returned. It's while we were yet sinners. That's the love, men, that we need to have for our wives. We don't just love them because they're so beautiful and serve us. That's not the way we were with the Lord. It's when there's challenges there and we need to work through the things, the rocks that are before us. We want the love of God to be in our hearts. That's the foundation that we want to remind us God wants to give us to build these relationships. We want to be motivated by that love. We want to be driven by it. That's what motivated means. It means that's the motor. That's motivated. That's what drives us. That's what drove Paul. Paul was driven by it. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. I mean, it was in there. And so, you know, it changed his direction. And so with that in mind, I would like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 for just some strengthening here of having this love within us to lay the foundation for these relationships. In Paul's prayer here at the end of Ephesians 3, it's a beautiful prayer. I know it's a favorite of mine. It's a favorite of many, but he speaks here in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now here's the foundation, grounded in love. I've tried to, you know, picture what that means, and it was a few years ago. I was moving a building down in a little town called Granite Quarry, and it's in an area where a lot of granite rocks just come right out of the ground, and they're big. And where I moved this building, there was this big rock. It was just huge, and it went up about 20 feet and probably about half as big around as this stage up here. And, well, I looked at that rock, and I looked at him, and I says, Ma, I would like to know how big that rock really is. And he said, you know, he said, I had a friend or someone who had a big bulldozer. And he said, you know, I can get that rock out of there. He said, and that would have been a real prize. And so he said he brought his big dozer over there. You know how big those things get. Well, he brought a big one over there, and he put that thing in, you know, the power gear, and he drove forward, and he hit that rock, and that man said that dozer literally bounced backwards. That rock was grounded. And that, oh, think of being grounded that way in the love of God. And it doesn't just say grounded, it says rooted and grounded. And rooted, you know, implies that there's life there. It's more than just grounded, it's rooted and grounded. And if we could be rooted and grounded in this love, and it says here what happens then, that we would be able to comprehend with all saints. And this is talking about the love of God here, the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ
It says, which passeth knowledge. Now, I get a little conflict in my mind as I read this here, because this is talking about knowing something here, getting a hold of this thing so that we could know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. In other words, the love of God is bigger than we can learn about. It passes knowledge. And yet we know it. We comprehend it with all saints. And it's so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God when we're rooted and grounded in this love. I tell you, marvelous things can happen in our relationships when we're rooted and grounded in this love, both at home and in our churches. It's a marvelous thought. And I want to keep reading here. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This thing is inside of us. And this has long been a favorite verse of mine. But you know, if you think about it, we have a limit here in this verse. Our limit is all that we can ask or think. I don't know how to go beyond that. All that we can ask or think. I can't go beyond that. But it says here that he is able to do above all that we ask or think. And not only above, he is able to do abundantly above. And it's not just abundantly above, it's exceeding abundantly above our limit. And brothers and sisters and youth, don't we want to bring the power of the love of God into our relationship? More than we can comprehend. He is able to do this. And I think what that's saying is he's not just going to automatically do it for someone, but when we cry out to him, he is there. It's according to the power that worketh in us. I believe this is a marvelous passage of Scripture. So may we be strengthened as we lay that foundation in our hearts. As the foundation to build our relationships. So let's take a look now and make the love of God translate into a practical way within us into our relationships. When we think about communication, the first thing we often think about is just simply being able to talk. That's a big part of communication. Able to express in words what we feel. Liberty to say what we want to say, to talk. This is communication. Talking is a big part of communication. It's very foundational. It's probably impossible to communicate without it. Now, there are people who can't talk. There are people who won't talk that need to talk. Will never communicate without it. But there are some people who are bound and just can't talk. And whether it's because of hurts in their heart, it can be that. Whether it's from wounds of the past, it can be that. There's quite a list of things that it can be. But whatever it is, those people need to be drawn out by love. And remember now, we have the love of God within us. And the love of God can draw out these people. It can draw them out because the love of God is not a condemning love. It's a love that shows concern. And that's something that all people respond to. I want us to know that when the love of God is the motor driving our relationships, it's a marvelous, exciting thought. What can be done? What can come out of it? But I want to present communication tonight. The burden that I want to present, that I want to place upon our hearts this evening, is that communication is more than just talking. We need to talk, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but it's more than talking. Because the root word for communicate is commune. Now that's pretty big stuff. It's commune. And to communicate is to do whatever it takes to bring us to the place of communion. And to commune is so much more than just talking. To commune with God is so much more than just preaching. It's more than talking. It's more than doctrine. It's more than theology. To commune is connecting in spirit. It's connecting in emotion. It's connecting in words. It's connecting in heart. That's communion. It's koinonia. It's fellowship. And I'm going to suggest tonight that there are two different levels of relationships in our homes and in our churches. We've seen it. There's relationships where they're close relationships. We're right here. We rub shoulders with each other. But our hearts, our emotions are just connected. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a sweet thing. It's a rich relationship that nothing can come between. But there are other relationships where we're close. We might live in the same house. We might go to the same church. We might rub shoulders, but we just can't. There's just a wall there, and you just can't connect. Communication is doing whatever it takes to be able to connect in spirit, in emotion, in heart. I want to think about the great disconnect for just a minute in teaching us how to build relationships. Think about the big disconnect between God and man. I mean, how far apart was God and man? Hopeless and outcast once we lay, amen? Worthy thy hate and scorn. I mean, how wide the gulf, how wide. But what was God willing to do? It was more than just talk. He was willing to do whatever it took to make the connection. You know, he didn't just write us off as irreconcilable differences, and which is what the world does today, just irreconcilable differences. Okay, so you don't have to work it out anymore. That's not what God did. I challenge us tonight, to what lengths did God go? What cost was he willing to pay to connect with us? How much of himself was he willing to sacrifice? To what depth was he willing to suffer and to come, to reconcile mankind? And I know tonight that all of us bow in reverence and worship at what God has done for us to become the sons of God. That's what John tells us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I want to bring that scripture into our relationships. Behold, what manner of love this brother has poured out upon his wife and upon his children, and to do whatever it takes to connect. That's what the love of Christ will do in a practical way in our homes. Now, what we cannot do, and what happens so often, is when we want this connection so bad with our children, we want it so bad that we're literally willing to create a disconnect with the scriptural principles of God in order to connect with our children. Well, that happens. We've seen it happen. And it's like the children leading the home, and it's not right. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, God, in all he was willing to do to connect with mankind, he never did that. He never sacrificed on his principles, on the commandments of God. We can't sacrifice on those things to build a relationship. When you are willing to lay down some scriptural principles in order to build a relationship, I tell you tonight, you haven't done yourself a favor at all. You haven't done your children a favor. You haven't done your church a favor. Everyone suffers. You haven't done your relationship with God a favor. We cannot sacrifice truth and holiness to build a relationship. And so just think about that for a minute. I mean, what that says is we've got a big job. We can't sacrifice on God's principles, but we have God's love within to reach out, like the love of God reached out for us. And so I say we've got a big job, fathers. We've got a big job, brothers. We've got a big job, pastors. Those who are in authority, and I'm even going to say sisters and mothers and wives, and we've got a big job, children, youth here today. It takes all of us to build these relationships. One person cannot do it. There has to be a response. It's in the love of God needs to be in all of us, and it's a high calling. I would like for us here just to open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a challenging verse here to me. I've read this. I've looked at it. Verse 10, I know we're all familiar with this, but I just want to read this verse. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren..." And so this isn't just a, "Hey, I got an idea for you guys." No, it's "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is an earnest plea here, "that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, is that a marvelous verse or what? Have you ever looked at that verse and just said, "Well, I'm not sure what that means. I've never really, I can't hardly comprehend it." And I've taken this verse, and I encourage you, you can take this verse, and have you ever just sat down and read it? I'm going to read it again. "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Just read the verse and then look up and look around. Just look at all these people, all these different backgrounds. Probably a big variation of thinking here tonight. And just be thinking about this verse as you look around and you say, "Oh." And then look back at this verse and just read it again. And then just look back up and just see all the variations that are here and just say, "How is this going to come to pass?" And that's one thing to do it in a church house, but it's you can do it in your own home. You can read this verse and take this verse home and look at your wife and look at your children, and there's different personalities and there's different ages and there's different influences for different reasons in their life. And then read this verse that we all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among us, but that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, I just want to challenge us this evening. We have the love of God within us. And if this verse isn't possible, what's it in here for? You know, if we're going to be honest about things, if this thing obviously is not possible, we need to take it out. I saw a cartoon one time of a fella, and it was maybe some other verse, but I'm going to apply it to this one. He decided, you know, this verse, he's just going to take it out. And so he took it out. And all of a sudden, he realized it didn't come out real easy. It seemed like it was hooked on to something else. And he realized it was hooked on to each esteeming other better than themselves. It seemed like that verse kind of came with it. And then he pulled a little more, and it was connected to another verse, you know, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And he just kept pulling because he wanted that verse out of there. And a couple other verses came, and then all of a sudden the whole high priestly prayer in John 17 had to come with it, where we would be one like the Father and Christ are one. That thing had to come out with it, and he kept pulling. And pretty soon he realized that the whole scriptures are tied together. We can't just pull one of these things out. There's too many other things that have to go with it. And so, you know, I don't like to think that we're going to take the Word of God and make it fit us. We need to take us and make us fit the Word of God. That's the challenge for our relationships at home. We can do marvelous things. I want to do something here this evening. I'm going to take just a little pen here, and I would like to write some things up here, and I want you to help me tonight. Let's just say that this verse is possible. What would it take for this verse to happen in our midst? Just name some things. I'll start us off here. It's going to take tremendous humility. I know it is. Humility. I'm just going to put it up here. What else is it going to take? It's going to take each esteeming other better. I know it is. We're going to have that or we'll never. I'll just put that there. So someone else, give me a word. I think I heard something over here. Amen, brother. Think of the self-denial you're going to have for that verse to come to pass. What are some more things?
Honesty.
Amen. We're just going to have to be honest with each other. We're going to have to be truthful. What are some other things? Patience. Amen, brother. Patience. I mean, that verse isn't going to happen all at once. Amen. We're going to have some long suffering. And how about communication? I mean, that's our subject this evening. We're going to have to communicate big time. We're going to have lots of brothers meetings or whatever. But communicate is going to happen big time for this verse to come to pass. What else?
Vision.
Pardon?
Vision.
Having a vision. Okay. Having a vision. I think that for this verse to happen, what about prayer? Oh, my brothers and sisters. And fasting. Amen. I mean, we're going to have to get serious about this thing. Tremendous prayer and fasting. We're going to have... What else do we need to have here? I've got some other things written. Go ahead and give me some ideas. How about sacrifice? That's kind of like self-denial, but I'll just put sacrifice here. We're not going to be able to seek our own way and lift ourselves up. We're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. What else is there?
Love.
Thank you, brother. How are you going to do this without the love of God dwelling in our hearts? The love of God. Amen. What else?
Forgiveness.
Thank you. Forgiveness. I mean, there's going to have to be tremendous forgiveness. You know, there's going to have to be, when we get together and communicate on this level with the love of God, there's going to be conviction. There's going to be confession. There's going to be, and that's part of the honesty that we had there. There's going to be confession coming out. There's going to be forgiveness when there's confession. What else is there going to be? Having the mind of Christ, is that what I heard over here? Amen. Having the mind of Christ. I'm gonna put a couple more things up here that I believe we're going to have. You know, this isn't just going to happen because we get together and talk about it. We're going to have some leadership. Are you with me on here? I mean, we can't just get together in a group like this and make this happen. We're going to have someone anointed, ordained of God to lead out, not with an agenda, not just telling everybody how it is, but we're going to have some leadership here. And when there's leadership, what do you have to make it beautiful? You have to have the spirit of under authority. You have to have a tremendous spirit of submission. I mean, look at this list of things that are here. And the list goes on. It does. Now, I want you to know that these things here, all of these things here, are relationship builders. These are all gentle things. There's nothing here that's harsh. This is gentle. These are relationship builders. And they build relationship. These are the things that it takes to communicate in our relationships. Now, if only one or two of you all out there only have one or two of these things, It's not going to work, is it? But what if every one of you out there has all of these things? Whoa. All of a sudden you say, well, maybe we could do that. And so I want to challenge you. What about your relationships at home? When you have the love of God, when you have these things, hey, these things can flourish. These things can become a testimony of what God can do. Now I would like to consider some more practical application of some of these things. If some of these beautiful attributes that we've written up here on the board don't have practical application, you know, they lose their value. I want to mention about 6 points here on how to communicate. I just want to encourage us. This is kind of a practical message. You know, I'm not going to be able to go to chapter and verse on every one of these things, but we need to learn how to translate the scriptures into everyday life. 6 points on how to communicate. The first one, and we've already mentioned it some, but you need to be willing to talk. And I want you to listen carefully to some of these points here. You need to be able to express your heart. You need to be willing to express all of your heart. And take note here, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. We're learning how to communicate here. You need to get over the fear of having to sound spiritual and say everything right. Just share what's in your heart. No matter if it's right or wrong, it has to come out. And this includes opinions. We all have them. It includes emotions. We all have them. It includes feelings. It includes hurts. You have to be willing to put your emotions into words and bring it out, and it needs to be without the fear of being condemned. You know, just being honest, willing to bring it out. You know what I've found? I've found that emotions can talk. Hurts can talk. Feelings can talk. And when they do, when emotions talk, and when hurts talk, everything they say isn't necessarily right. Everything they say isn't necessarily sanctified, but I'll tell you what it is. It's accurate. That is necessary to communicate. This is a relationship builder that we could honestly open up our heart and share what's in there. And I want to say again, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, but this door has to be open. It is a step towards a goal in our marriages and in our homes. You know, I'll tell you what my wife told me. She told me this. She said, Dale, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to take responsibility for my life, you know, if you're going to give me direction, then you need to know everything that's in my heart, right or wrong. If you're going to give me direction, you need to know what I'm thinking. And then she looked at me and she said, and I'm willing to tell you. I'm willing to talk. And that's probably a pretty common testimony of many people. But many times we shut them off. If we think something's coming out that's not right here, we're going to shut that thing off there. And I tell you, brothers, we are not wise. Let it come out. Let's find out what is in there and then take it before the Lord. That's what my wife wanted. This is the talk part of communication that needs to be in place. And it's not always easy because when someone opens up at this level, it makes them very, very vulnerable. They need to know that this is a safe place. But if you don't talk, if everything stays inside, or if you only bring half of it out and half of it stays inside, if it stays hidden and buried and never comes out, I tell you, you'll never connect. You'll never totally commune heart to heart. When you talk, it's just going to be, you know, kind of surface deep. It's going to be a little bit shallow. You know, and I've heard many parents say, you know, that my children just won't talk. I tried to talk, and my son just won't talk. My daughter just won't talk. But I want you to know something tonight. Your children will talk. In fact, they're probably talking. Why won't they talk to you? That's the question. There's some kind of disconnect. Those children know that they don't have liberty to talk to you. They know they're going to be shut down if they talk to you. They know that you're not going to listen to hear them out. Think about it. We want to build relationships tonight. Communication is a powerful thing. Your children will talk. They're talking. But they need to talk to you, and you need to get on their level and make it a safe place for them to talk. That's the first thing. In communication, you need to talk. Now the second thing. You need to learn how to be a good listener. That is probably one of the most important aspects of communication, is being able to hear another person's heart, even if you're hearing something that you don't agree with. Now, you must be able to express your own heart too. Communication's a two-way street, but you don't express your heart when they are expressing theirs. You don't interrupt them and shut them off because what you say is going to straighten them out here. I want you to know something. If you stop someone talking to interrupt them and share your heart, then you are not a good listener. You are an interrupter. And that is not a relationship builder. Believe me, I know. One of the biggest parts of communication in connecting is being able to hear someone's heart. Now I want to give you a real insight here. I really want you to listen close. If you have lots of knowledge and you're in a position of counseling, I really want you to listen here. You need to know this. When someone knows that they have been heard, when they know that you've heard them all the way through, when they have the witness that you've been listening carefully to them, and they've expressed their heart, and they know that you have heard them, that will do them more good than if you stop them and give them a mountain of truth. We need to learn how to communicate. There is a time to bring out that truth, but we cannot stop them to interrupt them. And when they're talking, when something doesn't come out right, I tell you, just listen closely. It doesn't mean you need to agree with them in every point. That's not what we're saying. You don't need to bless every aspect of their opinion. You don't have to justify every part of their hurt, but you don't cut them off to straighten them out and interrupt them to give them your opinion. You don't shake your head in disgust while they're speaking or roll your eyes in hopelessness at what they're saying, especially if they are expressing a complaint about you. And brothers and sisters, that's usually what happens in a marriage and in a family relationship. That's usually what part of the discussion is. That's usually what comes out. It's a complaint against you. And I tell you, when that thing comes out, I tell you again, it doesn't mean you need to agree with every point. It doesn't mean they're right in everything they're saying. It doesn't mean you're justifying every part of their hurt. But you need to listen. And you need to listen so close and get on a level so that you understand where they are coming from and why they drew the conclusions that they did. That is part of the grace of communication. Able to listen when you hear something that isn't right. Able to keep listening intently when something comes out that is in conflict with truth. It's just good to let it come out and then deal with it when it comes. And so there we have step one and step two. You have to be willing to talk. Your emotions, your heart, it needs to come out. And we need to learn to be a good listener. Now I want to move on to step number three. You need to get on their level. I know I've heard it said before that when someone is wrong and bitter, don't let them pull you down to their level. And it's true, don't let them pull you down to their level of bitterness. But this evening, I'm interested in learning how to communicate and how to connect. And in order to do that, we need to learn the grace of how to get on someone else's level and listen so close and to understand where they are coming from. And to illustrate this, you know, I'd like to paint a picture in your mind of what we're talking about. The picture that I would like to paint in your mind is of a ship going through the locks. When a ship is coming up the river and wants to go forward, either up or down the river, and it comes to a dam and to a reservoir, there are different levels of water above the dam and below the dam. And no matter which way the ship is headed, that ship, I'm going to say it this way, needs to get on someone else's level to go forward. Are you with me? Okay, then there's a procedure of the locks. And you can say, well, Brother Dale, that's out there on the river. And that's dams and reservoirs out there in the river. But I want you to know tonight, there are dams in relationships. There are reservoirs of feeling that have been backed up sometimes for years, and they're just backing up, and those things are dammed up. And when you try to build that relationship, I tell you, when the dam breaks, it's disaster. But if you're willing to go through the procedure of the locks and listen carefully and get on their level, it does a marvelous thing. When I was in New York, our family was there last year. It's called at the Eisenhower Locks on the St. Lawrence River up there, the St. Lawrence Seaway between the United States and Canada. And we watched this great big ship go through the locks. And I was just thinking, you know, if that ship said, I've got enough power, this is ridiculous, I don't have time for these locks, that's kind of a time-consuming thing, now I'm just going to go. And I mean, that thing could ram the dam, I mean, it would break the dam, it would probably sink the ship, it would do all kinds of damage. Unless that thing is willing to submit itself to the locks. And the locks were about, you know, 750 feet long. You know, and that ship moved in there so carefully. And the gate shut behind it. And the locks were about 100 feet wide. I looked at that ship, and there was only about 1 foot on the one side of the ship. And it filled the locks. There was only about 1 foot on the other side. That thing really couldn't move. That ship had tremendous power. It had tremendous cargo. But it brought it all into subjection to go through a procedure so that it could go forward. And the only way that it could go forward was to go through that procedure. And brothers and sisters, I want you to think for just a minute about what Jesus went through in order to come down to our level. Think about it in terms of going through the locks. There was never a ship with more cargo. There was never a ship with more power. There was never a ship with more authority. But what did Jesus do? King of heaven, Lord of lords, stepped down and he became a man. He literally became a fetus in a mother's womb. Wasn't hardly room to move. He was tempted in all points like as we are. I behold what marvelous love that God has bestowed upon us, that Jesus Christ would go through this level to come down, go through this procedure to come down to our level to redeem us. Could this speak to us in the relationships that we have, fathers, with our children. Sometimes they call it a generation gap. Sometimes in marriage, they call it irreconcilable differences. But what if we're willing to go through the procedure of getting on their level so that we can understand what is in their heart? I think it's a marvelous thing. And so I want to challenge us this evening. Have you been through the locks? Men, have you been through it to get on your wife's level? Youth, you know, it works both ways. Have you been through the locks? You know, it's not just you expressing your heart. Have you been willing to go through the locks and get on your father's level? To understand the responsibility that he has before God. To get on his level. Now, this isn't the things you want. Up here where he's at. Where he's thinking what is best for you, how he prays for you. Have you ever gone through the locks to get on his level? I think there's a set of locks for all of us to go through so that we can build these relationships. I want to say this, that there are times when I've refused to go through the locks. I was just going to straighten this thing out because it seemed that I knew truth here. And I didn't go through the locks, especially that down thing. I mean, there just wasn't time for this thing. It was time to straighten it out, and I have paid dearly every time. We must get on someone else's level to connect with them. To turn our hearts toward them in love. So that's the third point that I want to make. The fourth point that I want to make is we need to turn our heart to them. So often we want to work through relationships and pacify them and satisfy them so that we can get on with this thing. But there's a difference between that and turning our heart toward them. And that's what John the Baptist, his calling was there in Malachi, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. This is a powerful thing. It's when we literally seek the welfare and the best for each other, to our own sacrifice. This is and it's right up here. It's a relationship builder. God wants it that way. The love of God, that's what it's made of. That's why Jesus Christ came down. You know, I love the story. I read it in one of them old Reader's Digests. It's about a man and a woman. They had a marriage. They had some children, but they were upset. Life was hard. They got hit, and it kind of took its toll on their relationship, and they kind of loved each other, but they were just right irritated also, and it seemed like they couldn't work through things. And as the story went, it says they decided, they started talking about separating. They didn't really want to, but they kind of did because they were kind of fed up. And so they decided they was going to plant a tree in their front yard, and if the tree lived, they'd stay together. And if it died, then they'd separate. That's just what the story was telling. And so I read on there. And you know, there was something in this man's heart. He kind of wanted this relationship to work. And one day when his wife was in town, he thought she was in town. But she wasn't. She was at home in the bedroom, looking out the window, but he thought she was in town, and he got a bucket of water, and he kind of snuck out there, and he watered the tree. He just put that bucket, and his wife was looking through the window. And that did something in her heart. She saw the heart of her husband turning towards her. And a little bit later, when her husband was in town doing an errand, she thought, but he wasn't. He was in the shop there at the window, and she got a little bag of fertilizer and some water, and she went out to the tree, and she very carefully put the fertilizer there and washed it in with water, just turned the bucket. And the husband's looking out the window. That just did something in his heart. when he saw his wife turning her heart towards him. And it does a marvelous thing. And that relationship flourished. That's the way the story went. They had a beautiful relationship because their hearts were turned toward each other. And I tell you, fathers, when we turn our hearts toward our children, and children, when you turn your hearts to the fathers, and God is serious about this thing. If we don't, he's going to come and smite the earth with a curse. I think about the song that my wife and I had sung at our wedding. Kind of goes like this. We are one in the bond of love. We are two serving God above. We are three with Jesus. We are for each other. That's turning your heart toward each other. We're for each other. You know, get our agenda out of the way. Let's, by love, by this tremendous love of God within us, let's serve one another. You know, that tremendous love of God that's beyond knowledge. It passeth knowledge that dwells within us. But the marvelous thing about the love of God when it dwells within us is that it doesn't shrink one bit. When it dwells within us, it's the non-shrinkable love of God dwelling within us to build these relationships, to turn our hearts toward each other. It's pressing in to the kingdom of God, I believe. We can do it. The fifth thing that I want to mention, it takes time. Time, patience, long-suffering, working together. I've heard that the best thing to spend on your children is time. Spend time with them. And you know, I'm going to throw in here, every one of us here have three parts to us. We're not just, you know, you just call someone by name. It's bigger than that. Every one of us here are physical. Every person here has a physical body. Every person here is emotional, mental and emotional. You think, you have a will, you have emotions. Every person here does. You have a physical body. You have hormones. You know, you need to eat. You need exercise. You have energy and it needs to be spent. That's two parts. Every person has three parts. And every person here is spiritual. Every person here. Every person here has an eternal soul. And every soul here was born in Adam and needs to be born again and needs to be taught of God. But I want us to know tonight, you can't just deal with one of these areas and forget the others. You can't just minister to the spiritual and forget the emotion and just try to shut that thing down and get the spiritual right. You can't just deal with the emotions and just tell the physical body that there's nothing for you. You know, I'll never forget when I had a lot of my children at home. I was up praying one morning and I was praying for my son. And I was praying earnestly. I was just crying out to God for him, that the anointing of God would be upon him, that he would choose the right path and that he would receive the anointing of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that God would just use him in a marvelous way. And I was just praying, but my son walked. I saw him walk by me. I was out in another room praying, and I saw him walk out. And it had snowed 8 inches that night. And he went out there to look at that, and I was over here praying for him, and I was just thinking, you know, if my son could hear me praying, he would probably really be blessed. And I called him over here, and I said, son, I'd just like for you to kneel here, and I'd just like to pray for you. And so I did. I prayed for him. I prayed heaven down. I was just burdened to pray for him. And when I was done, he looked up at me, and you know what he said? He said, Dad, there's 8 inches. I was amazed. I wasn't thinking about the snow, but he was. You see, I couldn't just minister to him spiritually. I had to go out and play in the snow. We need to do that. We need to minister to every part of who we are, of who our children are. I just want to pass that out to you. I don't say that negative against my son at all. I mean, I think he received the prayer. He's been a blessing, and I thank the Lord for him, but I needed to play in the snow with him. And that's just part of what we need to do to build these relationships. It takes time. There are times when you're tired and there's something big on the heart of your wife. Has that ever happened? When you're tired, but ooh, something's big here and needs to be discussed. Hey, that's more important than sleep. If you don't wake up and talk about it, you won't wake up real well the next morning. That's just the way it works. That's dealing, that's taking time for what we need to do. And so we have these things. We need to talk. We need to be a good listener. We need to get on their level. And we need to turn our hearts toward them. And we need to take time. And then I also want to mention here, and this is very similar to the diagram that we had up here on the board, you need to be in your place. Husbands, fathers, God gave you a place to be in. Don't let your children be in it. And if you're not in your place, then your place is empty. And if you're in somebody else's place, then what doest thou here, Elijah? I mean, get in your place and fill the place that God has given you to do. Wives, God wants you to express your heart, but he doesn't want you to blackmail your husband. Be in your place and receive direction. You know, I think about that and getting at a new level. You know, that when you are willing to go through the procedure of the locks, you are not compromising on truth. You're just getting on a new level to present that truth at a new level. Think of it. God wants our wives to express their heart, but not to blackmail their husbands. Children, God wants you to share your heart, all of it, but not make it so that your father doesn't know what to do with you. It's not your place to lead the home. It's your place to be under authority. And so I trust that some of these things that we've mentioned have been an encouragement to you to stir up the love of God that is within you and let it come out in a practical way to build the relationships that God has called us to. I believe this is pressing in to the kingdom of God. I tell you, this message is very convicting to me. Every one of my relationships isn't perfect. And as I think about these things, I get very convicted. And I just want to tell you, fathers and pastors, well, I'll just speak to the fathers here. Your children are not going to follow you just because you love the Lord. I've seen lots of fathers who really did love the Lord and that their children weren't interested. I think we've probably all seen that. Your children will not follow you just because you are willing to lead them. If they would just listen. There are many fathers who are willing to give direction and lead their wives and children, but their children aren't interested. Fathers, your children are not going to follow you just because they know that you are called to lead and that you are ordained of God to lead them. And there are many fathers, children, who know the calling of God upon their fathers, but they walk away. They will not follow. Your children will follow you. They will follow when you communicate with them out of the love of God. When you break your heart before a holy God and before them, and when your life becomes a sacrifice for them and you win their heart, not with authority, but with a relationship, by communication. I want you to think about this. That's the way it was with Jesus, and it's not going to be any different for us. How did Jesus win the hearts of his people? How did he get his people to follow him? When Jesus came to his own and his own received him not, when he was despised and rejected of men, how did Jesus win the hearts of his people? How did he get them to follow him? Did he do it by throwing around his authority to make it happen? Or did he suffer for them and serve them? You know, Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. That's how he won their hearts. Did he judge them and condemn them, which he so rightly could have? Or did he pray for them? What did Jesus say? I have prayed for you, Peter, that thy faith fail thee not. And I challenge us with this one. Did he divorce them, or did he die for them? What is in our heart? We know what's in the heart of this world around us. They just divorce them. But the great love of God that dwells within our hearts doesn't divorce them. It's willing to die for them. And I just think, oh God, could we get a hold of this pattern as leaders, that Jesus did not win the hearts of his people with his authority and with his knowledge and with his power. And praise God for his authority and his knowledge and his power. We're not putting that down. We're lifting it up. But that's not how he won the hearts of his people. Jesus won the hearts of his people with his sacrifice. That's very convicting to me. On the cross, that's how he won the hearts of those who follow him. Brothers, sisters, you know that's right. Is the formula the same for us? I'm going to tell you tonight, it is the same. You will never rise above the example and the pattern of Christ to win hearts. Jesus did not win the hearts of his people with his authority. He won the hearts of his people by sacrifice. I've said many times that the kingdom of God is people. And I know that it's more than that. But really, if you think about it, Jesus didn't die for doctrine. And we're not putting that down. We lift that up. But really, Jesus died for people. He wanted a relationship with us. And he wants us to have that relationship with each other. And the more we communicate, the more we connect, the more we commune, the sweeter our relationships will be. And so may the love of Christ that passeth knowledge dwell within us. I think I want to open the altar tonight. The reason I want to open the altar is because this thing is a big thing with God. God is serious about this thing. There are many older people, and I would be one of them, who weep at the missed opportunities to win hearts and build relationships when our children were young, when our marriage was new. In the church, in the kingdom of God. I want to open the altar tonight for husbands. I want to open it for wives. I want to open it for children. These relationships are for all of us. I want to open the altar tonight for pastors. I want to open the altar for brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just want to ask you a couple questions. Is a rich, flowing relationship in marriage impossible because of you? Is a godly seed and a relationship with your children under stress because of you? Is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 out of the question and an impossibility because of you? We want to open the altar tonight. Why don't we all stand and let's sing number 97. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to sing three hymns tonight, because I feel like in coming to the altar tonight, you may just want to take some time to pray. You may not want to take some time necessarily to counsel with someone. And if that's your heart, that'll be provided. But we'll sing about three songs here and just make some time to open the altar, to come forward and pray and commit in a deeper way to God, to build these relationships as we press into His kingdom. Number 97, I need a